Welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org. It's the morning sun of free speech. Yes, Republic Broadcasting is the land of the morning sun. So, all you ninjas, get out your ninja wallets and go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. Okay, so this is our Monday start of the week show. We've got Mark Collett joining us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, my friend. Good to be here. Good to start my week with you, as always.
As always, and what a week. What kind of week is this going to be? Obviously, we got the big midterm elections coming up tomorrow. Any views from your vantage point over there?
I would say, all things being equal and fair, you would be expecting a Republican landslide, because Biden is one of the most, if not the most, unpopular president in living memory. He's failed in almost every respect, and fundamentally, moving forward, how could people support the party he represents, the regime that he is the head of, when everything is going so badly? And my opinion is that people aren't going to support us. However, I did say all things being equal and all things being fair, and all things being equal and all things being fair is a very important thing to say, because I believe that Donald Trump won the last presidential election, but I believe it was snatched away from him by gigantic cheating and electoral fraud. And the problem is, I don't think that problem's gone away. The problem is, the problem is still there. I don't think we are facing a situation where we're going into free and fair elections. And I think we are always looking down the barrel of record cheating when it comes to any election in America now and going forward. And we said this at the time, that if you can effectively cheat a major national election, like a presidential election, then you can cheat anything down from there. Literally, it's a free-for-all. Anything is game. And I believe now that will be the case. I believe that fundamentally we're going to face a situation, or Americans will face a situation, where they will always have this fraud, you know, hanging over them. And this fraud hanging over them is going to be ever present. And I don't think anyone's ever going to get a grip of it. And the reason I say that, and that sounds like a bit of a blackpilling thing to say, oh, no one's ever going to get a grip of this. But one of the things I said that Trump needed to do, one of the things he absolutely needed to do, was get a grip of elections before his, he was up for a second term. And I said he needed to do that. He needed to do that because there was obviously such huge room for fraud. And when he was in charge, he would have been able to pretty much dictate he had the ability to change things. He could have pretty much dictated a new set of voting practices, which would have reduced fraud. But he was either not interested in doing so, or he didn't want to do so. The Republicans don't want to do so, because every time anyone says, hey, we need restrictions on voting, or not really restrictions, but we need checks and balances. Restrictions would be the wrong thing to say. We're talking checks and balances. Yeah. Every time somebody says we need checks and balances, the response is always, that's racist. That's racist. Any form of check or balance on an election.
Voter suppression. Voter suppression is the word they use.
Yeah. Any form of check or balance will disproportionately impact non-white people. So basically what they're saying is checks and balances equal racism. And once that word gets wheeled out, once we start hearing the term racist thrown out and about, that silences people. And even if what you're calling for is complete common sense, even if what you're saying is absolutely correct, so you're saying we need a system where we check that voters are only voting once, that they are legally registered to vote, and that they are American citizens who have a right to vote, because that's sensible. You know, you're only voting once, you are registered, and your registration is valid because you are an American citizen who is allowed to vote. That's completely sensible. But as soon as you say that, people say, oh, well, this is discriminatory. It's discriminatory against immigrants. It's discriminatory against people of color. And really, it's not. There's no discrimination there at all. But words such as discrimination are now so powerful, and the connotations they carry are absolutely sweeping. So people don't say these things. And this absolutely ruined Donald Trump's election campaign the second time round. He was absolutely destroyed by the fact that he wasn't ready to deal with all of that. He wasn't ready to get a grip of the system, and he lost because of it. And now they know they can do it at a presidential election. They know they can do it whenever they want. And as they know they can do it whenever they want, unfortunately, that fundamentally means that these midterm elections, which should see a Republican landslide, may not see a Republican landslide. And you might see, yet again, a huge, huge, some massive levels of fraud, which see the election going in a way it shouldn't go in. And if we do see that, we then start having to ask ourselves some really, really uncomfortable questions about whether the entire electoral system is actually viable in America because of that degree of fraud. Now, let's wait and see how things work out. Because one thing you have to say about fraud is something that is very, very easy to carry out in a close election. So if you're looking at an election where, you know, 51% vote Trump and 49% vote Biden, pushing things over is not that difficult. Reversing sort of a 2% deficit for a candidate is not that difficult. However, and this is a big however, if somebody was to say get 65% of the popular vote and somebody else was just to take 35% of the popular vote, then you have a massive, massive 30% deficit. And that 30% deficit would be very, very hard to make up for anybody, because the level of the fraud involved would have to be huge. So really what I'm saying is this largely swings on two things. Firstly, how much fraud is going on, and secondly, how much fraud has to be perpetrated to cover up the losses made by Biden. So I don't know that. There's a lot of variables in there, but we'll certainly see how it plays out. And I think one of the interesting things post-Trump is the Republican Party, because of the unique way that American politics works. So party politics everywhere else in the world is different to the American system. The American system isn't a party-based politics as it is in, say, the UK or France or Germany. It's completely different. Anyone can stand on the Republican ticket. And because of that, there are a number of people who are now standing on Republican tickets that you've got to say aren't singing from the same hymn sheet as the Republican center, as what the Republican Party centrally, not sort of the mainstream Republicans, would say or do. And I think that opens this up to a very, very interesting situation where you may well have a case where there is some fraud, but people don't sit quietly about it, and where some people do try to prevent some fraud. Because, as I said, you now have a number of, we'll call them radicals or outsiders, and these radicals or outsiders, they can absolutely throw a spanner in the works, I believe. And I think that's good. I think that's a good thing. And we'll have to just see how it progresses. And obviously, the other thing, which is always interesting in cases like this, is Trump is still there. Trump is now ever present in American politics. And His supporters are absolutely dedicated. The fact he's still holding these giant rallies says a lot about his popularity, or the popularity he has amongst his hardcore fan base. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means if Trump looks on and calls BS on these forthcoming election results, yet again, there will be a sizable number of people within American society who turn around and say, nah, this was another illegitimate election. And that's very, very important, because the more people who feel that an election is illegitimate, whether it is or not, the more people who perceive it to be that, the more the entire system has a certain pressure applied to it, and people lose faith in that system. And one thing the system needs more than ever is for people to have faith in it. A system is only as powerful as people's faith in that system. Once people lose all faith in the system, or once enough people lose all faith in the system then just becomes a sham and collapses. So I think there's a lot of things to play for here. And I will say this, the people, our enemies, the people in positions of power that might be perpetrating this fraud, I would have to say, you know, they will absolutely understand the subtle nuances that we're speaking about now. And I think to some degree, they will actually have to think carefully about how they're going to play their hand at these elections, because it is going to look pretty suspect if a president with these massively low approval ratings ends up, you know, the party that president represents ends up sweeping the board, isn't it? That would look very suspicious.
Okay. Well, that's all. Those are all important points. And tomorrow I will be a poll watcher. The Republicans are making a big effort this year. I was a poll watcher 2 years ago as well. And so it's not as if this is anything new, but, I think there's a little more enthusiasm on the behalf of Republicans, and a lot more emphasis on this to, get as many poll watchers out to, and, you know, there's a limit to what poll watchers can actually do. But, you know, they faked a presidential election. And one might say, well, if they fake a presidential election, they can fake any election. And I've been saying for at least the past couple of years that actually, you know, in reference to the midterm election, that's not exactly the case. The presidential election, which is actually, what's actually being elected in presidential election are electors, in basically at a state level. So the presidential election is not really a genuine national election. It is, it's a collection of state elections, statewide elections. So you have that. Well, for the Senate, that's also, those are also statewide elections. The governors are statewide elections. So, they could be faked the same way. The House of Representatives, these are not statewide. These are districts. So we have 435 congressional districts. So I've been saying that I think the, fraud is going to play a much smaller part in the House of Representatives elections. The, Senate elections are still vulnerable, but even so, not quite as vulnerable. So I just want to explain why I think this. So when you look at the 2020 election, there were various ways that fraud may have been committed. Now, you know, there's been talk about electronic machines and vote flipping and this and that. And, you know, at the end of the day, well, the electronic machines are a potential problem. They're a vulnerability. But at the end of the day, Sidney Powell and, who's that other guy? I can't remember his name. The lawyer from Georgia. They really never they didn't release the Kraken. They never produced said they were algorithms. They never produced the source code for the algorithms. I'm not saying that there wasn't any fraud involving the electronic machines, but the extent of it was never demonstrated. And people like Sidney Powell and, that guy, whatever his name was, and the MyPillow guy are boomers who don't understand programming. They don't really understand it very. They don't understand electronics. They're not technically savvy, and so to the extent there was that kind of fraud, is up in the air. I don't know how much there was. I'm not saying there wasn't any. I'm not saying there wasn't a potential for it, but I don't think that was what was key. Obviously, there were illegal changes to voting systems. That was clear. But the illegal changes to voting systems itself isn't fraud, right? Mail-in balloting. Mail-in balloting is a big problem. And we continue to have mail-in balloting, maybe not, in the midst of the corona apocalypse, some states were just mailing out ballots to everybody. And I know people who got multiple ballots. I know people who didn't request ballots who were getting ballots, but they were mailing out ballots to everybody. And, so obviously there was a big problem there. There's going to be some of that this time, but probably not as much. But the main thing is, well, those ballots still have to be counted. And it was in the counting, I contend that it was in the counting of the ballots, that the real consequential fraud took place. And it took place, there were, six states that were really at stake. There were six states that were close and where fraud probably, there might have been more than six, but there were six that were really focused on. And those were Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. And the first four of those states all have large black cities where, and Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, where there was well-documented problems taking place in those cities. And the thing is, because blacks have traditionally and still are pretty much entirely supporting the Democratic Party, and because in these black cities there are entire precincts, and you know, the initial voting, well, the voting takes place on a precinct basis, entire precincts that have zero Republicans. They're entirely Democrat. So there is no check in those big black, those precincts, those all black precincts in the big cities. There's nobody there to even check what's happening on the actual ballot casting level. There's nobody who necessarily would tell somebody, no, you can't vote for your grandmother. No, you can't, you know, vote twice or whatever. There's no check there. And there was a massive potential there. There's one other thing that's important that is different from last time, and that is social distancing. Because you can look at Nevada, for instance. And Nevada does, Las Vegas is not a big black city. You know, it's got a lot of Hispanics and whatnot, and it's Democrat run. But what was going on in Nevada, and this started before the election day, in Nevada, in Cook County, which is where, not Cook County, Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is, and it's where the bulk of the population is, you had maybe a week or two before the election, you already had the Republican officials complaining nationally, complaining vociferously that the counting of early ballots was taking place in a room where they weren't allowed within 30 feet because of social distancing. They weren't allowed within 30 feet of the counting, and they could not verify whether or not there was fraud going on. And, you know, so you saw that. That was a constant complaint. You can remember, because this is, there's canvassing. So you have the votes cast at the precinct level, and then typically the, you know, there's an initial count that's done there. Thank you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And then typically the, there's an initial count that's done there, and then the ballots are brought to a central location in the county, and they're counted again there, and they're tallied up there. And that's called canvassing. And at the canvassing centers, like at the canvassing center, for instance, in Philadelphia, this is where you had the white Republican canvass watchers who were kept in a separate room, weren't even allowed to look through the windows. There was paper and cardboard that was taped up the windows so they couldn't see. And they were able to do this because of coronavirus measures, because of social distancing. If you come in the room, people will die. And this type of thing was because of social distancing, coronavirus, and of course, then you did have things. So that will be hard to replicate. So some of these things are going to be hard to replicate. I still think there's going to be, there's other things that maybe could be replicated. Atlanta, they sent everybody home. They said there's a water leak, a water pipe leak. Everybody has to go home. Everybody went home. And then, of course, the security cameras found showed them taking boxes or suitcases out from under the tables, opening them up. And some people actually remained in, continued to count. That was obviously fraudulent. So you could still have that type of thing. But at any rate, this election, because the fraud, I contend that the fraud took place mainly in these black cities. And the black cities are going to, they could do the fraud because they were 100% Democrat. And those votes were enough to flip statewide elections. Well, So they could still flip the Senate election. So I think the Senate races in five of those six states have Senate races, and those are all tight races, and they're all vulnerable, and it could make the difference in the balance of the Senate. But for the House of Representatives, those areas where the fraud was taking place, those are areas that the Democrats are going to win anyway. Those big black cities, the Democrats are going to win those anyway. But flooding, stuffing the ballot box into black cities is not going to have an impact on the what they call the swing districts, which are largely in suburban areas. And in the swing districts, there are Republicans, and they won't be socially distanced. And so it's going to be a lot harder to fraud them. So that's why I say that I am expecting the Democrats to win less than 200 seats. The Republicans will have at least a 35-seat majority. And where the Senate, it could go either way. So I kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, I think that's – look, I think that's good news. Some people will be like, oh, well, they're two sides of the same coin. And I agree that's the case in places like the UK. But I still think in America – you have the power. So, for example, you know, we all know that Dr. David Duke was on the ballot in America recently. I think it was it 2016? He was on the ballot in America. And, you know, people can get involved in politics like that. Whereas in the UK, that is something that absolutely cannot and does not happen. You wouldn't get, you know, I couldn't walk into the Conservative Party and say, well, look, I want to be the Conservative Party candidate for my local area. And then people say, OK, well, we're putting you on the ballot. And if the people want it, they can have it. That simply isn't the case. So it does fill me with a little bit of hope that there might be some pushback. And if there I know that the Democrats are absolutely terrified of there being pushback, because if you listen to the likes of Joe Biden, what he's saying, what other leading Democrats are saying, you know, they are scared. They're scared that it's going to be a wipeout, because they're using that sort of terminology that they've used before, sort of, we're fighting for the heart and soul of America. If you don't come out, dark forces will emerge, all of this rubbish. Because they're trying to scare people into absolutely, definitely coming out to vote. So they can say, oh, well, we did it again, you know, business as usual. But I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for them this time, from what you've just said. And I think that's something that's obviously a good thing. And if this ends up leading to potentially, you know, this could potentially lead, couldn't it, to some kind of Trump comeback. Would you agree?
It could very well lead to a Trump comeback. And Trump, as you mentioned earlier, he is doing a lot of campaigning. He is, without a doubt, the leader of the Republican Party. And when, Joe Biden, and I laugh every time I say his name as if he's almost not even a real person, but the Biden and, the other Democratic operatives, what are they campaigning against? They are campaigning against Donald Trump. You know, so Joe Biden, his speechwriters write about, you know, MAGA Republicans. That's what they're trying to scare Democrats with, women, with his MAGA Republicans. He keeps saying, you know, MAGA, these radical MAGA Republicans. But, you know, Trump has had Trump, you know, in the United States, most places, the candidates are settled in primary elections for the, you know, candidates for the two major parties. And in Donald Trump, during these primary elections,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Candidates for two major parties, and in Donald Trump, during these primary elections, he selected candidates to support. Now, these aren't the greatest people, and to an extent, he may have lost somewhat of control over the MAGA message, you know, because other people parachute into it. And so when the MAGA message really was pure Donald Trump in 2015, 2016, it was primarily about immigration, but it was also, why do we need NATO? These foreign wars are stupid. Let's make friends with Russia. Let's do deals. And now, of course, there's a lot of China bashing. China has to be held accountable for the coronavirus. So other people like Tucker Carlson have been able to inject their agendas into it. But at any rate, there already is a small contingent of pro-Trump, MAGA type of Republicans in Congress. And there's going to be a substantial number of people in the new Congress, not necessarily a majority of Republicans, but a substantial number who are going to owe their seats to Donald Trump. Now, whether or not this will actually produce any kind of loyalty is different. But if Donald Trump were to come back, one difference would be that when he was first inaugurated, he did not have supporters in Congress. There had only been one senator who had supported him, and very few House members. just weeks before the election, you had dozens of congressmen saying that he should withdraw from the race because of that Access Hollywood tape where he said that celebrities could grab women by the, you know, whatever. So this time, though, he's a huge factor. He's going around. He's making speeches. And, if you go to a Trump rally, it's going to be mostly Trump speaking, and then he will bring on the local candidates who might say a few words. If you go to, say, an Obama rally or a Biden rally, well, they will speak, but more of the attention is actually going to be on the candidates themselves. Trump is the campaigner. This really is this election to a large extent is a referendum on Biden and Trump. So anyway, I don't know if you have more to say about this or if we should move on to other topics.
We can move on to other topics. I think we've exhausted this.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's a couple topics I want to get to. And the next one would be the whole Kanye cost, the Kanye apocalypse. I call it the Kanye cost because it's like another Holocaust, only real this time. And Kanye, people are calling him the gift that keeps on giving. And he's not backing down, and it does seem to be spreading more, not like wildfire, but especially, you're getting more and more high-profile blacks who don't have the same filters and are saying things. So you had, Jason Whitlock, who's relatively high-profile, Kyrie Irving, a very high-profile basketball player, who's now trying to back down, but they won't let him back down. They say, you've got to grovel harder. No harder. No harder. And now you've got a public dispute, a public Twitter feud between Candace Owens and her employer, Ben Shapiro. Have you heard anything about this?
I haven't, but I would like to be educated.
Well, so there is a well-known anti-Zionist Jew by the name of Max Blumenthal. You probably are aware of Max Blumenthal. Are you? Or maybe he's too American.
I've heard the name, but I'm not sure of his body of work. And I don't mean that to sort of insult him or anything of the sort, but I just am not. I don't think I'm aware of his body of work.
Well, he is the son of a Clinton, close Clinton associate, but he's off the reservation, and he has been able to use his Jewish privilege to do things like get into meetings, big political meetings in Israel, and interview people at these big meetings in Israel and get them to say the most outrageous things. And so he's done a great deal to expose, Zionism in Israel and what Israel's truly about. And he made some sort of comment about Jewish power, and the comment was something along the lines that Jews have never had it so well as they do now. We live in a world that is absolutely completely philo-Semitic, not anti-Semitic, but philo-Semitic. And Jews are at the peak of the power and wealth that they've ever had, and yet they just keep pushing and pushing and don't know when to stop. He made a comment, something along those lines, which Candace Owens retweeted. And then Ben Shapiro, that's his name, right? The little guy with the little hat. Ben Shapiro.
Little guy with the little hat.
Yeah, little guy with a little hat. Ben Shapiro publicly reprimanded her on Twitter. And then Candace Owens said, look, you've got my phone number. Why are you doing this in public? And so now you've got this feud between Ben Shapiro and his most famous employee. And then I guess there's a white employee by the name of Matt Walsh, who hasn't got involved in, I don't think he's that involved in the Kanye thing, but he is, I guess he's supporting, he said voiced some sort of support for, Candace Owens. So this is spreading. They could have tried to ignore Kanye, and maybe that would have worked, maybe it wouldn't have, but they've just taken this, really over the top approach of, trying to smash him with any means available, take away all his wealth. Anybody like Kyrie Irving, just destroy people who talk about Jewish power. And of course, it's attracting attention to Jewish power. So that's what's going on there.
Well, I agree, and I actually think this is a fantastic thing. I mean, it's not fantastic that these people are having their lives ruined, having their livelihoods taken away, etc. That's absolutely not fantastic. That's awful. But the fact of the matter is, it's a fantastic thing that people are beginning to talk, that people are beginning to, you know, voice their opinions on these things in such a way that fundamentally we're now seeing this huge shift where these Jews who have this incredible amount of power, and this guy's right, you know, it is philo-Semitism. The Jews have never had so much power. They've never been in a position before, ever, where they were so uncriticizable, where no one could say a word against them. And they found themselves in this position, but it's not enough. And not only is it not enough, but fundamentally, and this is one of the key issues, it's not about how much power you have as much as it's about what you do with the power that you have. So you could have a huge amount of power and you could do an awful lot of good with it, or you could have a huge amount of power and you could wield it in a way that restricts freedom of speech, freedom of expression, harms the people that you hold that power over. And I think the issue that people are seeing here at the moment when it comes to Jewish power is not necessarily an issue of Jews just having power. It's that Jews are wielding the power in a very specific way, which is, I would say, against the interests of white people primarily, but also against the interests of anybody who speaks about Jewish power. So somebody made a very good point about Kanye. Kanye has basically been completely deplatformed. He's lost all this money. You know, he has lost all these sponsorships. So has Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving had this big sponsorship deal with Nike, and he's lost that. That's gone. It's finished. It's over. It's done. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, if you take what's happened to Kyrie Irving and you compare it with what's happened to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick made all these anti-white comments. He was clearly coming out and attacking, you know, the white male patriarchy, this imaginary beast that controls everyone's life, but really, really actually doesn't. And what did he get? He got a big deal. He got the cover of numerous magazines. He got lauded as an absolute hero of not just for black people, but a hero of the people, of all people. You know, this guy was speaking out against, you know, the white male patriarchy. And he's the hero of America. He's the true, you know, all-American guy that we should all be looking up to, because he's spoken out against these horrible white men. And you have Kanye, and he makes a couple of comments about Jews, and he loses everything. Now, this pretty much tells you everything that you do need to know about Jewish power. It tells you everything you need to know about white privilege as well, that white privilege doesn't exist, that Jewish power is the issue. And the interesting thing about these powerful Jews in positions of authority is they can't let anything go. They can't let a single thing drop or pass by. As soon as they are challenged in any way, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how much it's an off-the-cuff comment, they have to absolutely go out for the kill. And when I say go out for the kill, I'm not talking just giving somebody a slap. I'm talking about actually ruining them and humiliating them. So it's not like they just say, right, you know, we think an apology is due. It's not just an apology. It's a huge fine. It's a huge financial loss. And often it's other humiliating things like you must submit to 4 weeks of sensitivity training. You must produce an essay and read it to the nation on how you are insensitive and how Jews are actually really hard done by. And what you've said is the worst thing ever. And it's so gratuitous and it's so sort of overt that if you actually did have any doubt about the veracity of these claims of Jewish power, you wouldn't have any doubts after you'd seen what had happened. You would be like, well, I wasn't sure what these guys were on about when they were talking about Jewish power. And then I saw how Kanye got dealt with. And, you know, now I'm starting to think there's something to all of this. And so not only do they absolutely demonstrate that they hold this power, not only do they absolutely show their level of vindictiveness towards anyone who mentions this power, no matter you know, how small the mention is. But then they use that power in such a way that it almost seems utterly petty and illustrative of what the person said initially, but not just illustrative. It sort of suggests that what the person said initially didn't really go far enough, because what Kanye was basically saying wasn't that Jews wasn't that Jews control everything. It's that Jews were effectively pushing an anti-white narrative through their control of the media. And in the end, this has, you know, absolutely ballooned. And what is Kanye now proving? Well, that it's not just an anti-white narrative, it's an anti-anybody narrative who dares speak out against them. And I've got to say this, I find it difficult to believe that anybody, and I mean anybody, could come out now and say that Jewish power is a myth. Anyone now that comes out and says, this is a myth, it's an anti-Semitic trope, it's a nonsense, there's either something wrong with them where they can't join up the dots, or they're invested in protecting that power at any cost.
Yeah, but of course there are a lot in both categories. And so, you know, you have people like Piers Morgan, who one of the first people who interviewed Kanye West, and this was exactly what he was saying. It's just an anti-Semitic trope. It's not real. And so there are all sorts of people who will say things like that. Okay,
but he's invested. That's what I'm saying. But he's one of the people who's absolutely invested in preserving this, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, so you have really the entire power structure, which is invested in this. If you're Jewish yourself,
Piers is something special. Piers is a special case.
Okay. How is he special?
In the UK, people sort of jokingly refer to him as the Gammon Whisperer, because he's the guy that imparts ideas and thoughts to normal people. He's the guy that they wheel out to make people believe that somebody's still on their side. So he'll come out and he'll say, like, I understand a lot of what Donald Trump said resonated with voters, but a normal people will be like, yeah, Piers, voice of the nation, and that's the guy he is. He wasn't wheeled out to do the Kanye interview because he's good at what he does in terms of being a presenter or an even-handed host. He was wheeled out because there is this misguided notion amongst your average British white guy that somehow Piers speaks for the average British white guy, which he doesn't. And Piers Morgan is that guy that he's meant to be the voice of reason. He's meant to be the guy that we all listen to. But he has a very, very specific interview style that doesn't allow a guest to ever get a word in edgeways. So I'll give you an example. Tommy Robinson appeared on a Piers Morgan interview. And as much as some of us might be like, oh, not Tommy Robinson again. Well, he did. And Tommy Robinson had some things to say. And sometimes he has some things to say of a real serious note. So Tommy Robinson goes in for this interview. And by the end of it, you could tell it wasn't an interview. It was just Piers Morgan talking over him and delivering lines that he'd obviously pre-prepared in the mirror in the dressing room before the show went live. And it didn't allow Tommy to get a word in edgeways. And that's another reason they send Piers Morgan. He's almost like the system's hitman when it comes to these interviews. He doesn't allow people to speak. He isn't fair. He isn't even-handed. He's not really a nice person. He never makes a good point. He never allows anyone else to make a good point. And his interviewing tactic always stifles any genuine debate. I'll give you another great example of this. During the coronavirus lockdowns, he actually was the guy dispatched to put an end to people who were saying that it was unlawful, that it wasn't right, that the jabs were bad for people. And every time somebody went on the show and tried to explain, well, this isn't actually a real vaccine. This isn't actually what we've been told. This doesn't actually lead to immunity. He would just talk over them and talk over them and shout them down and ridicule them. And it's not really even an interview at this point. It's just a deconstruction. And people sit there and they think, oh, Piers flattened him. But Piers doesn't really flatten anybody. Piers is terrible at this, but he is good at talking over people. So when I saw that it was Piers Morgan doing this, I've seen it all before. He's done the same with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He's done the same with the trans rights activists. Yeah. He does it with them all, and it all leads to an unfortunate anti-white conclusion in the end, because that's what he's wheeled out for.
Okay. Well, and that's exactly what happened. So that is exactly how that interview went. Hey, while we have just a couple more minutes, last thing I want to ask you about. So I saw in the news today, in Russia Today,
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what happened. So that is exactly how that interview went. Hey, while we have just a couple more minutes, last thing I want to ask you about. So I saw in the news today, in Russia Today, that Georgia Meloni, the new prime minister, a hot chick prime minister of Italy, she has refused to allow boats with, say, 300 migrants to dock in Italy. And so the question is this the beginning of new things, or is this just really kind of a drop in the bucket, and that she's not going to be effective in stopping the flood of migrants. What do you think?
I don't know. The fact is, when it comes to migrants coming into, say, let's say the UK, because I know the figures in the UK. I don't know the figures in Italy. I can assume it's as bad, maybe worse in Italy. But let's work on UK figures. When we heard about people being deported from the UK, everybody started cheering. Yeah, the Tories are finally doing something. Now, I said it was all a load of rubbish, and I was proved correct. Now, I think they've tried to deport about 12 people, and actual deportations in terms of numbers is zero. None have actually been deported. But they tried to deport about 12 people, which isn't a huge amount of people, is it? You know, it's a nonsense. But I'll say this, Patrick. What difference would 12 people make? Well, 12 people would be almost like standing on the deck of the Titanic, the water's rushing in, and you say, aha, we've got the solution. And out of the pocket, you pull a little silver thimble, get a thimble full of water and chuck it back into the sea, and then stand there with a smug look on your face as if you've done something meaningful. Now, that is not hyperbole. That's what it is. You're talking into the UK somewhere between about probably 500 and 1,000 illegal immigrants come in a day, probably nearer the 1,000 on average. You're probably talking around, you know, 300,000+ illegal immigrants come into Britain every day. Oh, sorry,
every year?
360,000 a year. Somewhere around there. You know, let's err on the conservative side. Let's say 250,000 illegal migrants come in per year. And the government also gives out 1.1 million visas every year, or did last year anyway. And 1.1 million visas is not one per person, it's one per applicant. And an applicant can be a person or an entire family or a couple. So you've probably got somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million immigrants coming in legally. So let's be on the cautious side. Let's say 2 million plus 250,000. You've got about 2.25 million people on the conservative side coming into Britain every year. Does it really matter if you kick 12 of them out?
Yeah.
It makes no difference. And all I'm saying with the Giorgia Meloni, that if she stopped 300 coming in, great, round of applause. But it needs to be stopping 300 coming in every single day. Because even if you stop 300 coming in every single day in Britain, that wouldn't even solve the illegal immigrant problem, let alone the other legal immigrant problem, because the illegal immigrants are just the tip of the iceberg. So, yeah, I'm all for a win. I'm all for a win. And this sounds like a win. But it's got to be more than just a thimbleful, and it's got to be more than just a thimbleful once. So it's got to be bucket loads every day for days, weeks, months, years. Or else, it's just one thing to get people cheering and to think something's being done, and then it's business as usual the next day.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Patrick. It's been a great show, and I've really enjoyed it. I'll see you same time next week.
See you next week, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S-secret.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.